really into that song Vicki was singing, and a great message of Jesus for everybody. Good news of great joy for all the people. Well, it sounds like Jesus tells it like it is here in Luke's Gospel. Once again, the Lord's good at that. We should expect that from Him. Don't you like people who tell it like it is? I sure do, especially when they're talking to somebody else. Tell it like it is. I don't like it so much when they're telling me like it is. It's like, whoa. But the Lord gives us the truth. We should expect Him to be straight with us about our relationship with Him. The Bible does say He's full of grace and truth. He's going to be the kindest person you'll ever meet, but He will be the most straightforward person you'll ever meet. It says in Romans chapter 11, Jesus is merciful, but He's also severely stern and strict. Okay, now, you might have known some stern and strict people in your life. You're never going to meet one more so than the Lord. It tells us about that in Romans chapter 11. So we get to know God's heart like that also. One good Bible teacher said, Jesus doesn't tell it like it is merely to describe what's going on, but everything is the way it is because of the Lord's sovereign say-so. So it's giving deference to God when Jesus tells it like it is. And most often He was telling it like it is to the worship-going folk. And so doesn't that make you glad you came today? It's like, this is what Jesus does. He's there to straighten out the universe as it is, one heart at a time. And three guys at a time happens to be here in the story. So it's scary, it's true, and it's good news that Jesus has tough love for us. He gets these three guys in a headlock, you might say, and gives them some tough love. These are three Christian wannabes that Jesus speaks to. Okay, the first guy says to Jesus, Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. So you give the guy credit for his enthusiasm. Nothing wrong with, you know, being excited out of the starting blocks. It reminds me of running a race one time, first time, ran a quarter of a mile. And leading the pack at the 50-yard mark, 100 still way ahead, 200 running out of gas, and at the end of the race finishing last. But this man said, I'll follow you wherever you go. Nothing wrong with enthusiasm. But Jesus is not impressed with that. Okay, he tells the man, he says, look, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His head. He says, I have no permanent temporal home for you. And this was a real life experience of early Christians. Okay, and it was pretty rough. It was devastating. No guarantees about a decent place in terms of what's going to happen to you here on earth. It was the first home mortgage crisis, you might say. It started by Jesus. I don't know if you're going to have a home or not. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, to this hour we are hungry, thirsty, in rags, and homeless. Okay, that's the Apostle Paul. Great Christian leader, you know, serving the Lord 100%. He said, to this hour we are hungry, thirsty, in rags, and homeless. I'm looking for the exit door. I don't know if I want a life like that. Following Jesus. These guys had a life like that. So Jesus says, I want you to know what you may experience in the difficulty of following me. There'll be a battle for our soul every day. Following Jesus will be difficult and lonely. That's why He's telling the man about this. Okay, it'll be the Lord in our soul versus sin, selfishness, death, hell, and the devil. And we'll appear outnumbered, but we're not. So we try not to whine when things get really bad for the Christian. And remember, the state that the early believers were in should give us some compassion for people who are in that state today, hungry, thirsty, in rags, and homeless. You might run into the Apostle Paul there as you would get to know somebody in that boat. So that was what was going on, and Jesus wanted people to know about that. And when we think about the challenge that was put forth before the man, we would have to say this: there's no way I can live like that. I mean, I have to say, when I turned to Christ and said, "Lord, I receive you. I know I need forgiveness, and you're Lord," I wasn't thinking, "And oh yeah, if you want me, you know, homeless and destitute, I'm all in." I'm not sure I can live like that unless Jesus saves me, He fills me, and He helps me. That's the only way I'm going to be interested in that kind of life. And so Jesus tells that man the truth, and we don't know whether he said, "Yeah, I'm still in," or "No, I'm still not in." But the second man comes along. Jesus invites the next man, so he takes the initiative. He says, "Follow me." The man says, "First, let me go bury my father." Now, this is a very compassionate request. And, you know, all of us, we love our family members, and we want to make sure everything's okay with them come the end of their lives. And the man says, of course, "First, let me bury my father." So we know it's first in the man's soul. Jesus said, "Follow me." And he says, "Well, first is over here, Jesus. I know you're over here, but first is over here." That's going to create a problem between Jesus and the man. Here comes one of the hard sayings of Jesus. He says, "Let the dead bury their own dead. You go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Now, the man's dad, you know, may have not been on death's doorstep yet. He may have had some time to go. Chances are, Jewish folks, they bury people within 24 hours or 48, not quite sure which. But they get right at it, okay? And so what this man was doing was a delay thing. And we know that Jesus is not anti-funeral. We know that. He is, as the song says, He is all compassion. Pure, unbounded love is He. So He's not being tough on this guy who's concerned about his dad or the dad. He wept at Lazarus' tomb, Jesus did. He faces his own death so we can be freed from death. So what sounds like, you know, when I first read this, "Jesus, you're being harsh and uncaring and unloving." But when you think who it is who gives the invitation, "Follow me," and the man says, "Well, first," who's really being uncaring and unloving? Is it Jesus? Or is this guy over here? "Mr. Excuse me, I'm going to the funeral guy." Okay, and I know in our own souls, if we really want to love our family in a good way, we have to say, not "first let me go," but first I'll follow you, Lord. If you want to do your family a great favor, I'll put Christ first in your life. I mean, he invites you to do that. And he loves your dad more than you love your dad. And he's more compassionate to your dad than you are to the loved one who meant so much to you. In fact, he provided that loved one. So to honor your Creator by hearing the invitation of Jesus. Jesus is concerned about life, not just death. To take a line from a famous movie, Jesus is telling the man, "Well, you can get busy dying, or you can get busy living. Where's your focus going to be?" With Jesus is busy living, because he's life, the resurrection and the life. And there's a true story. It's a rough one to tell, but I'll tell it anyway. John McNeil, and I don't identify with this story, by the way, but it'll inspire somebody over here. John McNeil is a hard-headed Scottish preacher. He had arranged some evangelistic meetings in a certain town. They really needed good news from the Lord. And so that was arranged on a weekend. That same weekend, his dad passes. And, of course, funeral is there, has to be buried, and so on. And the date of the meetings and the date of the burial coincide just too closely. John McNeil has to make a decision. "Okay, I know the decision I'm going to make. I'm going to the funeral." somebody else, get somebody else to give the message. That's understandable. John McNeil said there was no question what he should do, he said. He said he felt like the Holy Spirit was telling him, do you want to see the dead buried or do you want to see the dead raised? Okay, because if you go and follow me and tell others about me, look, I already took care of your loved one. They're in heaven. But if you want to see the dead raised, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. John McNeil did that. And I can't identify with that. And I can't live that way myself unless Jesus saves me and He fills me and He helps me. Then I'll be able to say, I know how to love my family best and follow the Lord. Not first let me go, but first Jesus. First, Jesus. He calls you and I to the same relationship. The same time, in the same way when we come to Jesus and say, Lord, I know I deserve hell, but give me heaven. We come to Jesus and we say, Lord, I can't do this, but help me. Help me follow you. And God will give the courage, give the calling. Third man. He says, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say goodbye to my family. There's that word again, first. We know where this guy's coming from. We could identify with that. Jesus is so pro-family. I mean, He created the family and He puts us together providentially, you know, and teaches us of Himself and of His love, His forgiveness as we're all together. Jesus is Lord of our families. That's the only way it works well. You want to do your family a big favor? Put Christ first in your life. We had a great conversation, a bunch of elders the other day. They were like, turned a bunch of wild men loose. They were they were saying, you know, we want guys and the dads to really be committed to God. We want them to follow God because it seems to work out real well when guys and dads do that. They become better husbands and become better people in the community when they put Jesus first. And that it was inspiring to hear that. But the biggest favor you could do for your family, not just say goodbye to them, but to follow Christ, and you'll be leading them in a new way. Ask, you know, very practical, you know, not to make it too personal, but practical. Ask my two sons and my wife, when am I a good dad and when am I a good husband? And they'll say, when he's following Jesus, he's on. When he's not following Jesus, he's like C minus. C minus dad, C minus husband, you know. That's selfish. That selfish guy, you know. But follow Christ. Follow Christ. He invites us to that. You can do it. And Jesus calls these three guys. He calls three here. You and I are one of the three. I don't want to give up my bed and my house. But if He saves me and He fills me and if He calls me, I'll say, that's a gift right there. If He can take it or leave it from Jesus. Family. Wonderful, precious family life. Gift from God. When God gives, He gives. If God takes away, we still follow Jesus. When Jesus calls, it's voting day. Had voting day back in November. We pull the lever, yes or no, when He calls. If we say, I abstain or I delay, that's a no vote. Okay, that's a vote for disobedience and rejection of Christ. Jesus told the man who wanted to say goodbye to his family, if you put your hand to the plow and look back, you won't be fit for the service in the kingdom of God. It's going to be hard to be a blessing to somebody else and proclaim good news when you're crooked in your Christian life. If we look back and say, well, my ultimate commitment is my house and my key relationships without God, we'll be crooked as a Christian. And we won't be fit for service. And God doesn't want us to be crooked. God wants us to be straight. Okay, like He's being straight with us in the passage. Remember, the Lord doesn't invite a partial devotion, but only full devotion. Here's a couple practical things to deal with as we just apply the passage over here. Lies that we have to get through, that our biggest responsibility is somewhere other than God. Not true. It's not how well I'm taken care of. It's not even time with family life. I'll just lead them astray if I don't see God as the biggest responsibility. Second one, your biggest enjoyment is somewhere other than God. This is one that's real attractive to a lot of people, my own soul in particular. I think, you know, all the fun is somewhere away from church, you know. It's God who came to bring good news of great joy. Jesus, who really lets us know how to live. He says, follow me. Here's some truth to deal with. Where are you making your best effort at life? You know, you say, I surrender everything, especially when I go to work. You should see me at work. I mean, the boss loves me. I mean, I am there first. I'm the last one to leave. I'm fantastic. Or you know, family, tucking the kids in bed every night, kissing them on the head. Whatever new pair of sneakers are out, they're getting it this year. Okay? Where am I making my best effort? If it's not, I want to know God better and follow Him. I'm not being straight with God. Okay, we're not saved by an effort, but we put our best surrender to Him and follow Him. Another truth, remember, you'll never be satisfied with second place passions, blessings in life we somehow put in front of the Lord. The issue in these three conversations is not, are you tough enough to follow Jesus? No, sleep on the street, throw your family out, or walk away from them. The issue is Jesus tremendous enough for you to follow Him? Does he shine so much that you would say, the things in my life that I like a place to live. I hate it when I have to move. I pot for months when before and after that, you know, we have to go from the what I'm used to what I'm not used to. But is Jesus tremendous enough to follow Him to say those things are under God? And we have to come to grips with the truth that the strength to follow Jesus is not in us, but His Spirit gladly gives us the power to follow Him. If He would save me, if He would fill me, if He would help me, I would gulp and start to follow Him and say, these other blessings, they will have their place too. In our lives, we'll be sold out to something. Remember that. These three guys were sold out to something. One was his surroundings. Surroundings are a good thing. One was his honor, dad. One was family life. We'll be sold out to something, but be sold out to who is first. Don't be sold out to not being sold out, staying uncommitted. What would we say to Jesus if He said, follow us? I want to close by just taking a look at the tremendousness of Christ just in our, just let these seeds get planted. Who's the most brilliant one you could follow? It's going to be the Lord. Who's the most wise one? Got to be Him. Who's the strongest one? By far, Him. Who's the light of the world? It's going to be Him. So when He says, follow me, make sure we know who the invitation is coming from. That'll be all we need. He'll be all we need to win our hearts over. And in closing, we'll just close our eyes for a minute and listen to these titles that God's Word gave Jesus. Actually, He revealed Himself as this, even as He came in Bethlehem. And just let him win you over when He's saying to you, follow Him. And you give them your best effort, will you? Be slopping around. You wouldn't do that to your people at work. You wouldn't do that to your family. Don't give the Lord like your third best. It hurts your own soul when you do that. Hear God's word, if you would. Lord, we bow our heads and close our eyes. Thank you, Jesus, you call to us. We recognize you as wonderful counselor. That's true about you. And Lord, we hear you talking to us as mighty God. And when you say, follow me, Lord, we know you're Prince of Peace, your everlasting Father. And Lord, win us over because you're God with us. And Jesus would be glad to follow you on this one because you are the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Lord, at the end of the Bible, you let us know you were King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you for being that way. And that the King of the universe should say, follow me, would be glad even to have you look our way. Lord, give courage and grace to each one here. Thank you, you love us, and so you wouldn't not say, follow me. Or you certainly wouldn't say, well, take your time about it, and someday I might be impressive to you, but you'd immediately give us the truth and life about yourself. Might that happen in our souls continually? In Jesus' name we pray.